What's up, guys? This is Scott from Iron Legion. This is episode 267 of Strong the Iron Will Way, official podcast of the Iron Legion Strength Company. All right, so today I have my second ever special guest. Oh, dude, your door's open a little bit. See, there's a perfect example. This is real shit. This is me and Julian sitting in the Jeep, driving around recording a podcast. So let me give you guys that aren't familiar with Julian, I mean, if you're following me and Iron Legion, I'm sure you are, but if not, Julian's our head coach here at Iron Legion, and if there were ever such an expression as a no-brainer, hiring Julian was kind of a no-brainer. So a little background on Julian, I'm going to let him do most of the talking, but when we were still pretty small, we had two small studios. And we were looking at acquiring some more space. We realized that we'd pretty quickly need to bring on two or three more coaches. We had never really had to look for coaches before because they all kind of found their way to us. So before I even had to look, John, who was the second coach I ever hired, was like, "Oh, hey, I'm going to jump to Julian real quick. Were you living together at the time yet?"
No, we weren't living together at the time yet. He was visiting me at college, so I was still in college.
Okay.
I think.
So Julian was still in college, and John was like, "Dude, when that time's right, you know, a really good friend of mine is getting his degree, and he's been coaching people for years. He's awesome, like all this stuff." So as the time became closer, Julian came down, and it was like, "Oh, dude, like, okay, you know, can we hire you like right now?" So anyway, with that, what's up, Julian?
What's up, guys? It's good to finally be on the podcast. Good to kind of get my voice out there and tell my story, I guess. I guess where I got started was I was 16 years old, I think 15 or 16. I think I just got my license and I was like able to go to the gym. And I lived sort of in a rural place, so getting to the gym was a task.
You know, did you grow up here in Maine?
I grew up here in Maine. Okay. Yeah, I grew up in Saco, and then I moved around, but I ended up coming back when I was 15. I lived in a more northern town in Maine.
And at that point, had you, at 15 or 16, were you lifting at all or no?
This is when I kind of just started. I got my license and I was kind of got inspired to drive myself to the gym. So
okay.
I drove 30 minutes and got to the gym and, you know, did what I thought was right. And, you know, just from what my brother showed me briefly growing up, you know, with dumbbells. And I, you know, did maybe a 20-minute workout and left. But I didn't really know, you know, how to push myself right, or anything like that. And one of the first few times I went, I was doing some chest presses, and a couple of the older kids in town, I didn't even know them really, but I knew of them, sort of just poked fun at me and laughed because I was only pushing, you know, 15 or 20 pounds in the dumbbell press. And
was it like a public gym or like a school
gym?
Yeah,
you know, it was an open gym, pay 30 bucks a month,
oh, okay,
go and do whatever you want sort of place.
Now, when you were... Even like deciding to go to the gym when you were young, 15, like what, do you remember? Like I specifically remember taking karate class and like my instructor was felt so freaking strong, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember,
yeah,
it'd be funny for me to see him now and see if he actually was big or he just,
yeah,
seemed big to like 15-year-old me. But I remember like he would grab me and I'd be like, "Oh my God, like I gotta,
yeah,
get big muscles and be,
yeah,
strong like that." So
yeah,
I felt I'm weak, I'm small,
yeah,
I need to get bigger, and that was my motivation. What at 15, what sent you to the gym? Like, was there something specific?
Without being, you know, dramatic, I wasn't a super happy kid, so I always kind of knew I had to change something. You know, I was playing video games a lot. You know, I was really into World of Warcraft, and I basically dedicated my life to a video game because I wasn't very happy.
Oh, okay.
In my real life.
So you were like getting lost, and that,
yeah,
was your like alternative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I knew, you know, because I saw my brother. My brother was always a good example. My sister was always a good example. They were always working out, and I just didn't like sports, and I didn't really get along with other kids that well. I did, but not, you know, select few people. Didn't,
yeah,
have many friends. So just kind of picked up lifting, you know, as an individual hobby in the hopes of feeling better about myself. You know, whether it was I wanted to look better, I wanted to be strong, I wanted all of it. I just wanted to be better.
Oh, wow, cool, okay.
So that's kind of where that all started. But those kids actually discouraged me at that point in time. I never went back. I think I continued to pay the membership for a few months, but I never went back.
Isn't that fucking so powerful, dude? Like, I mean, it's powerful as adults even, right? You know, imagine an adult going to the gym now and somebody, you know, I think that's the fear, right? Of the new person who's out of shape is afraid that they're going to get snickered at. Or, and I think it actually luckily doesn't happen that much. But the perception, but like, look at how powerful, right? It happens to you once, and this has happened to me too, and you're out. Like, that's it. I'm not going back.
Yeah, yeah. It's
crazy.
It's when you're fragile and you're young like that and you don't have much of a, you know, sense of accomplishment or confidence, like, you're fragile. So, you know, and kids are brutal. You know, kids don't care. Adult, you know, an adult man would never make fun of a kid who's weaker at the gym. Like, that's not what you do. But when you're in there with another kid that's, you know, 16, who's way stronger than you, they just kind of look at you like, pfft. You know, like, they just laugh and snicker, you know, exactly what you said. So that was kind of the initial, like, just heart sinking, like, shit, I just want to be able to do this in peace. So long story short, a few months went by and I learned of this guy that had a barn, big empty barn, and this guy was pretty successful, and the barn had some weights in it, so, like, you know, a barbell and plates, and he had a bench and some dumbbells that went up to like 70 pounds. He actually had a pretty good amount of stuff.
That sounds awesome.
But there was no actual, like, wasn't really a gym. It was just kind of like weights all over the place.
Yeah, okay.
And he had some pull-up bars. So me and my buddy George at the time, I mean, I really owe George everything as far as like the exercise and like the, he's the person that promoted me and said like, hey man, like, we can do this together, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
George was way stronger than me. George was probably the strongest kid in the school.
Awesome. Dude, I got to cut you off just real quick.
Yeah.
I have, my story is practically the same. Like, I was just talking about this guy. My best friend in high school was naturally a freak, right? But, like, also good at everything. Like, he just decided to get everything he got into, he got into 100%. Yeah. And he's the first guy that basically took me to, like, an outside gym.
Yeah.
But I remember he benched 405 in high school.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
Yeah.
And, like, but it's funny that you end up, how a lot of these stories are the same, right? Like, we met somebody that, like, brought us on the path.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's probably part of how you ended up being, like, what you do for a living, right? Like, you
Absolutely.
Coach people. Like, you feel like that's your duty now, is to,
Absolutely.
Like, do that for somebody else. It's
Absolutely.
Pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, that's, I think you hit the nail right on the head. So, as I kind of got that experience, you know, as a kid who wasn't a super happy, you know, go-lucky kid, who wasn't really popular, who wasn't really, you know, interested in socializing, it was the greatest thing in the world for me. And that's really what, at that age of, you know, 17, 18, when I was really, really getting into the gym and, like, developing my own personal confidence, like, in this barn, like, with my friend.
Yeah, dude, that's, so was the guy, like, that was your friend George, did he know this guy or something? Like, how did that work?
No, I think we just sort of heard that, like, we were like, where can we work out around
that
here that's
so
just not at one of these gyms? Like, because George was just as frustrated at those kids as I was, just for different reasons. And George and I were friends separate from the gym. So we were both kind of, you know, I guess, awkward kids. We, you know, we both liked video games, kind of kept to ourselves. But we found this thing where, you know, George had physical gifts and I saw that, and he sort of made me feel like, you know, I could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, you know, we worked really hard, and I had a strong work ethic once I got going, because I didn't have any of the physical strength gifts. So I had to work everything up, you know, all my strength up from ground zero. And I was just, you know, not in good shape, and you know, this list goes on and on and on.
So for you guys that have never met Julian in person, I mean, this is why I love these kind of origin stories, because if you met this guy now, the guy that's sitting next to me is handsome, confident, super strong, spends 10 hours a day talking to people, right? So for a kid who was not really social, right, felt awkward, it's almost hard to believe that, you know, when you see the adult sitting here now, right? And I always think that's, again, the power of getting stronger, right? Gaining confidence. Like, even if you're not the most social guy in the world, like, dude, your job is social now.
Yeah.
You know, isn't
yeah.
that interesting, right?
Yeah, and the craft or the job, what was once a hobby, you know, gave me a life. So to me, it's, you know, I'm obsessed with it because I've sort of always been obsessed with it.
So you're 17 lifting in the garage, or in the barn, rather, yeah, right? Yeah. And now, again, for you guys that don't know, I mean, Julian is a when he's competing, he's a very competitive lifter at his weight. He's super strong. I'll let you tell him. He'll tell you guys his best lifts. But when did you? So then you go to college, yep. And obviously you lift in at college, and you start yep. to pursue this. When did you start to when did you start to become really strong, right? Because there's everybody gets stronger, but you're kind of exceptionally strong. And for a guy that started out without physical gifts, when did that start kicking in where you're like, oh, I think something's happening here?
It was never, you sort of always hear from, I guess, from powerlifters, higher level powerlifters, that they always sort of knew they were strong. They always sort of they had a thing that they did, or a moment in time where other people said wow, that bench press is really something. I never had that. For me, it was never, I never had that realization that I'm strong. And believe it or not, I still don't have that
right.
realization. That's not really how I think. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just trying to get better. You do have to acknowledge I can deadlift, close to 600 pounds at a light body weight.
At 180 pounds.
Yeah, 180 pounds, 175, 180, which is good. It's nowhere near, where some people are, but it's pretty good. For me, I think I always enjoyed deadlifting. So I think when I felt strong or felt good about doing an exercise because it was a lot of weight, it was definitely a deadlift, and it was definitely in the barn. And then I think it was a 365 pound deadlift when I was I was probably 17 or 18.
Yeah.
It was horrible form.
Right. You have a good story about when, at college, when, what's his name gave you shit about your sumo, right? Or something.
Yeah. I mean, you learn how to have the intensity sometimes first, and then sometimes people learn to have great technique and then they get intensity second. I always had the intensity first.
Right.
I didn't have to learn that part. So I guess that was a gift.
Yeah.
I always sort of knew how to psych myself up and get in my head and pull something really heavy. I never had a lot of doubt.
Yeah.
But I also never had an insane amount of confidence, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
I just took things one step at a time and let, the training work, I guess. One of the things that I particularly don't feel good about, for example, is when I started benching, I was benching 95 pounds.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it. I remember I played football and whatnot, and I had, some people start even less weight than that, but
yeah.
I remember I put 25s in the bar and it was pretty darn heavy the first time I benched.
Yeah.
So I vividly remember that.
Isn't that such a thing, dude, when you're a kid? You just want those big plates on there. So bad, you just want 45s on each side.
Absolutely, and you sort of rush it to get there. Almost like your bench doesn't matter unless it's at least 135.
Totally, yeah.
But to me, it's that mindset is poisonous. Some people get motivated by it. They slap the plate on. But for me, I had to work through all those, awkward phases, working up to a 135 bench, working through plateauing at 185. I never had a freak gift where I laid on the bench and slammed 225
right.
the first time. That never was me.
Right. So it wasn't that way with deadlifts, because deadlifts is obviously your best lift, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that way with deadlifts either, really. So you have advantages in that lift, but it wasn't the first time I grabbed the bar, I pulled up 400, right?
No, it was never oh, this is easy, I'm gonna keep going. It was I always went real hard, but I always knew, I did my research. I was on the bodybuilding.com forums and, tried the best I could, back in whatever it was, 2010, to get good information.
This is before you're, when you went to school, did you know right when you went to school what you wanted to, that this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, I remember I sent my application to University of Maine, and I marked athletic training because I had no idea what athletic training was, but it sounded
right.
something that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I learned athletic training was actually way more about injuries and kind of being on the sidelines of sports games and whatnot, and I was oh, that's not me.
Yeah.
So I always knew that I wanted to train regular people. that's what I was interested in the most. Once I got to school, the goal for me was literally always to be a personal trainer. It was never to be a physical therapist. It was never to advance my career and work for a sports team. I always wanted to work with, you know, grandma and, you know, the regular 25-year-old to, you know, 65-year-old person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I like the most.
Not the competitive lifter, not the athlete, but just the average person that wants to get stronger and feel better.
Yeah, you know, give me the construction worker who, like, doesn't give a fuck about what he's wearing on his feet. You know, like, I like training that guy.
Yeah.
Who shows up in
oh, and work. I know exactly who that guy is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so things like that, I've always liked the job. I've always liked shooting the shit with people and training and, you know, getting them results and showing them, hey, we're on a program and this is what we're doing and this is where we're going and goal setting. It's just been an insanely positive thing for my life. To put, you know, I was once a very negative person, and the job over time has shown me how to be positive. So it's amazing
what helping other people can do for your own psyche. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people think it's so selfless to be helpful, but I'm always like, dude, I'm being selfish too, because it makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this job does, and especially when you're, I mean, I see your clients throughout the day. Like, you have awesome people. So you're spending 8-9 hours a day with people that are really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a nice, really nice way to spend a week. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, you have to be sort of the shepherd of positivity. You know, you have to sort of, if someone comes in a terrible mood, you know, you're not their therapist per se, but it's your job to get them, you know, feeling better than when they came in. So what I do is instruct, you know, strength training. So that's what I do, is I try to improve people's day and also get them long-term results through strength training. So
right.
To me, it has multiple different goals. It's not just, you know, come in and bang weight and leave. It's we're on a program, and every day you come in has extreme, you know, value, and this is why. And also, we're going to get you feeling like you accomplished something so that when you leave, you take that positivity with you to work or to back home or wherever you're going. You know, those are my goals for people, you know, for me as a coach.
Yeah, 100%. So you're in college. So you just switch gears from, like, athletic training to exercise science?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so that happened pretty quickly. You know, I learned exactly, oh, I'm in the wrong thing. And, you know, thankfully I wasn't taking any incorrect classes or anything. It was early on, so I switched. Never looked back. And then, you know, graduated in 2016. And I also interned and worked up there too, and just tried to...
I was going
to
say, you did a lot of sports, worked with the sports teams, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I interned for close to 2 years at the strength and conditioning compound up there at Latty at University of Maine. It was awesome. That's really where I learned, like, oh, I'm doing all the wrong shit.
right.
You know, I was in the bodybuilding mindset. I was in, you know, the, like, just go till you die sort of mindset.
Yeah.
You know, just slamming pre-workout and, you know, mass gainer and, like, just sort of your average gym bro for a year or two in college.
Yeah.
And then I really learned the, you know, the technical aspects. I always tell the story. I worked up to, like, a 405 sumo deadlift, I think, and I was pretty pumped about it. You know, I was always a conventional deadlifter, and then I switched to sumo and just kind of did that because I liked it. And then when I did that 405 in front of my mentor at the time, I remember I put the weight down and I was all fired up that I finally did it. And he just, like, calmly walked over to me and pretty much told me that that was the worst deadlift he had ever seen in his life. And I was like, fuck, man, really? I was like, I really thought I had something special. You know, he's like, it's not the weight, it's how you did it.
Yeah.
And that little statement was everything to me. So ever since then, I've sort of been fascinated with the technical aspects of lifting weights and exercising.
I remember that story. But and that carries into how you coach people, right? You know, it's like I've seen you, you know, you're like a stickler for, let's get the form right. Like, I don't really care what's on the bar, right?
Yeah.
Let's make sure it's proper.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time to work up to the weight, but you're not impressed by the weight if it's at the sacrifice of form, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that's, you see it all the time, whether it's, you know, on social media, it's, or on forums or the advice that people give you, oh, you want to make sure your technique's good, and people are like, oh yeah, my technique's good, and that's the end of it for them. For me, technique can sort of always be worked on and should always be worked on. You know, you don't work on everything, but you work on aspects of your technique every time you put your hands on a bar.
Right, right.
So that's definitely how I train people. And that's how I stay grounded in training. You know, when I'm coaching people, I'm very focused. You know, I'm focused on what they're doing, and I'm sort of synced up with them. So I know if, you know, if something's off there, and that's yeah. kind of just how I sync up with my work day, I guess. Yeah. Focus on the very, very technical things, so I have to pay attention.
And so now that you've been doing this, let's call it professionally, right? It's your full-time career, it's your life, for like four years now, right?
Probably. Yeah.
What, and having seen, like, for you guys that don't know, you know, a lot of people that hear of Iron Legion or see Iron Legion, you know, we're not a powerlifting gym, we're not a bodybuilding gym. We do have people that have chosen to compete in powerlifting or bodybuilding after training with us for a while, but that's not typically what we're about. We're just about getting people stronger using powerlifting, you know, methodologies or bodybuilding techniques. But the most of the people that we work with are, you know, quote unquote normal people who are just trying to get stronger, feel better, look better. Having been exposed to those type of people now for 4 years, what would you say is the most common, like, challenge or maybe faulty approach that people have in the beginning, whether it's mentally or physically, like, hey, I want to just get in better shape and feel better, right? And they decide to go join the gym or do something. What are most people doing maybe incorrectly, or the thought process wrong, and what should they be doing?
I mean, in my opinion, people have way too many expectations and they don't set enough goals. So they expect to get, you know, whatever it is out of their workouts, and that may or may not happen as fast as they want it to. Versus what the typical successful person does is they set the goal. They set smart, practical goals that they sort of know that they can achieve, and they work on those until they get them. Versus, I think a lot of people just join the gym and start, you know, banging weight or, you know, jump on the treadmill and just expect certain results, but don't necessarily have a plan to get there. So
okay, so they're thinking, I'm just going to join the gym, I was going to get stronger and leaner and more muscular, but they don't really have a definite, like, I want to hit this number, or I want to do this, right?
Yeah, they're focused on the result and not the process, which is very, I would say that's what everybody does when they join the gym. They join the gym for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, they join the gym to build muscle, or they gym, a lot of people will join to lose weight or whatever it is. Versus actually, you should just express the goals that you have to someone who can help you form that plan. You know, someone like a coach or someone like a dietitian, if you really want to lose weight, and you need to be able to wrap your head around sticking to a plan for a while so that that goal will actually be a reality, or else you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. You know, if you want to lose weight, but you don't have the plan to actually lose weight, how are you going to do it? You just go and work really hard, and then you mess it up when you,
like,
go home.
Kinda,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So whether it's that or gaining strength, I think people don't plan enough, or they don't think that they have to plan. They just think that they have to die in the gym.
Yeah.
Whether it's by treadmill or by weight, they just go in and work hard with no plan, which I think is dangerous.
Well, and I think that's something that you've been very strong about, is that, you know, in our place, we want to make sure that everybody in there who's working with a trainer or coach is following what, like, you described. You had a great expression once that I posted about a month ago about, if it's not progressive, it's not a program, right?
Yeah.
It's just a workout.
Correct.
Right? And I'd say, following up with what you just said, that's what we see a lot, is people that go into the gym for years and years and years and do maybe quote-unquote good workouts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Every workout might have felt great. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, that was a 9 out of 10. I feel great.
Right.
I'm pumped. I'm sweaty.
Right.
But, like, there's actually not a program in place. So you don't know if you've move the needle forward, backward, anywhere.
Exactly. So if you don't have a program that you're sticking to, or at least a starting point, you know, that you're really carefully tracking in one way or another, whether you're literally writing it down or putting it in a spreadsheet or, you know, whatever. You physically have to track it for sure.
And you think that's important, right? I feel like that's something that most people don't do.
No, they really, really think that they can mentally do it. And I get it. Oh, last week on bench, I did 185 for five. So this week, I'm going to throw 190 on. I'm going to try to get five. That's what people do.
Yeah.
But that's not a plan. That's not reliable enough. Because what if the answer is you're not getting that 5 pounds? What do you do then? If you don't have a plan, right, you have no answer to that question.
Because that works for a little bit, right? I think that's the problem. Is like in the beginning, that plan works.
Absolutely.
Like you can remember what you did, and you can add 5 pounds every time.
Right.
But like when that stops, I mean, even as a trainer, I've done that, dude. And when I first started training people, it was like not cool to write stuff down.
Right.
It was like, oh, I got to be so good that I can just remember. So like, and like I could remember enough to give people a good workout. You know what I mean? I would I would know if I was training you right now, I could put the right amount of weight on the bar to give you a good chest workout.
Exactly.
But I can't know that I'm progressing you from how you've been coming along.
Yeah.
I feel that's what people, that's a trainer making that mistake.
Right.
And I still see that a lot, right?
Right.
Imagine an individual who doesn't even have that kind of knowledge making that mistake. There's no chance they could be successful, really.
Exactly. So, you know, in my opinion, you know, arm workouts are great. You know, every once in a while, you need a workout. You need to go and suffer and sweat and get, you know, get your blood pumping, and like that's what you need in the given moment, and like those are fun and those are cool. But a program is a path, and you're on this path, whether it's, you know, a revolving percentage, you know, like sort of 5-3-1 sort of style where you cycle through it, or it's just simply linear progression. It has to be tracked, and you have to sort of know what you're going to do and also what you have done so that you can adjust and kind of bend with the breeze. Because I think too many people, just like I said, they go to the gym and they just work really hard. People have that intensity. A lot of people have that work ethic to go to the gym and move the machine or you know, run on the treadmill until they can't anymore. Like, people have that intensity, but they don't aim it. They just spend all their energy every time and think that that is what's going to move them forward, versus the feeling that you're experiencing in the gym is not the progress.
Yes.
It's the relationship between workouts that is the progress.
Huge.
So people that don't care about their performance, whether it's weight lifted or how much they're resting between sets or doing more volume than they did last week, well, I think that you're making a critical error.
Right.
No matter what your goals are. So I think that tracking and adjusting things is like absolutely essential to any training and getting better.
Huge. And sometimes, right, I would say you've shown this. So when we have staff meetings with all the coaches every Tuesday, and for the majority of the meetings, Julian will lead some kind of like trainer development, we call it, where we're just trying to learn always and get better, learn about programming, learn about exercise technique, learn about anything you can think of. And there's a lot to it. You know, that's the other thing that's funny. You know, when you think it's just about lifting weights and proper form, like there's so much more to it. I mean, I've been in this game for 30 years and I'm still learning, right? I'm learning from Julian. I'm learning from everybody. Julian's still studying and learning. So I think that's what keeps us engaged, right? As coaches, is knowing that we don't know everything yet.
Right.
But I would say from watching you also, sometimes the workouts won't even feel as hard when you're on a program as they would if you were just going balls out. Right. And I think that messes people up sometimes. They're like, oh, it didn't feel hard, you know, hard enough.
Yeah.
Because in their mind, it has to be failure every set of 20 sets.
Yeah.
Where on a program, sometimes it's not failure. Right.
Right.
And it's not AMRAPs and it's sub max. But I've seen you take people with, like, over time, add so much weight to their lifts.
Right.
When the workouts might not have been quote unquote killer every time. Right.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they are, for sure. I've seen people getting smoked in there, but they don't, that's not the marker of a good workout necessarily.
Right. Yeah. You know, for me, the marker of good workouts is, are you progressing, you know, over a 3-month period, a 6-month period. So, you know, as a coach, I can't just be administering workouts. You know, I have to have an idea of where the hell this whole thing's going to be, you know, in a few weeks, or have some amount of idea of what people are going to be able to do. So getting people to feel the exercises in the right locations, you know, in the right muscles, yeah. and you know, not in certain muscles, and that's all very fascinating to me and very important that people do that. But once people have the proper technique and form, we're always sort of drilling things, but really what matters is the consistent execution of that program.
Yeah.
And it's the understanding that, yeah, not every workout is going to make you burn in the exact way that you like to burn, you know, when you're
right.
You've had a great run, or, you know, whatever the hell it is, you know, that feeling that people like to have, the pump in your biceps or whatever. That's not necessarily the result, but the result is, you know, knowing that taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps backwards is a great way forward.
Right.
You know, and I think that especially once you get really heavy in training, you have to realize that you're not going to hit 400, then 425, then 450, then 470. It's
right.
You're going to hit 400, 425, 450, then you're going to have to jump back down probably, and like, you, everything happens in cycles and waves, and your next workout isn't always your hardest workout.
Right.
Like, that mentality has to go, in my opinion.
So for, we'll finish up with, I mean, we could probably talk this all, we could be driving around for 5 hours, right?
Yeah.
So let's take the average person, right? That's like, you know, I think typically we'll see somebody that, it's always the same request.
Yeah.
Add muscle, lose body fat. Even if the person wants to lose 100 pounds, whether they're aware of it or not, they want to build muscle, right? Because that person is generally not have excess muscle mass.
Sure.
That person typically, in my experience, has joined a gym on their own and either done lots of low-intensity cardio, right? They're walking on the treadmill. They're riding the bike. Maybe they're jogging a little bit. Typically, it's low intensity. They're going to want to do some weights, so they wander into the... They generally won't go to the free weight area because that's really intimidating.
Yep.
They'll mess around with some machines, right? Maybe the guy that signed them up at the gym taught them how to use the machine circuit.
Yep.
And maybe they'll do some like boot camp classes and, you know, thinking that that's going to burn the calories and get the weight off.
Yep.
And then we see that person 6 months later, a year later, and they kind of look and feel the same, right? They're tired and frustrated. What's the suggestion to that person?
For me, it's the sort of the hidden goal for me, no matter what someone says, you know, what they want from training with me, you know, every once in a while you'll have a client that says, hey, I'll give you 3 months and I'm trying to lose, you know, this much weight or whatever they're trying to do. They sort of give you that gauntlet, like, I'm going to do 3 months twice a week. This is sort of what I'm going for. Cool. In my head, what that means to me is if someone wants to, you know, do the standard, build some muscle, lose some fat, to me it's start their metabolism up.
Okay.
So the time for me starts when that person says, yeah, 12 weeks, I get this much time with them. So for me, I have an hour to influence them outside of the gym. Because if someone's trying to lose weight, the 1 hour workout with me twice a week ain't gonna cut it.
That's right.
There's no amount of work we could do in those 2 hours that's gonna make someone, you know, who's not, you know, supplementing correctly and sleeping enough and eating properly, you know, for their goals. There's no amount of workout that will help them.
Amen.
So trying to fix what's behind the scenes is actually more important than the workouts themselves. You know, I can teach someone who doesn't know how to squat in 5 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, stuff like that doesn't take too much time. So I'm better off talking to someone, you know I have limited time with them about the things that will actually help them for their goals. So getting them stronger, teaching them how to move with no pain, influencing their diet and their recovery habits so that metabolism will actually work for them and burn that fat. And hopefully they see steps forward from that, you know, and that's sort of the goal. So create a more anabolic person, someone who has more muscle so that they move better, feel better, and actually burn more calories, you know, just from needing fuel for their workouts and their muscles, not sending them to the treadmill for hours on end. I'd rather fix their eating habits, you know.
Right, which is harder to do, right?
Absolutely.
And it's much easier to just give someone the go walk for an hour on the treadmill.
It's a hard conversation because you can't just tell someone, yeah, do this and you'll be fine. It's no, listen, like right. you're putting in all this bullshit and there's no way we can outwork that. So you have to stop putting in some of that bullshit and try doing this and working with people one step at a time to get those habits corrected so that they start seeing those results almost immediately from that. Usually little changes rather yield pretty big results. You know, if someone's pounding 4 Cokes a day and then all of a sudden they stop drinking soda, well, in a few weeks that person's going to lose some weight. They're probably going to feel better. They're going to feel more like their energy is consistent, and little things like that end up having a monster difference.
Well, that's huge. I think what you're suggesting is, like, as a coach, your influence on the client is much more than what you do in that 1 hour, right? I think it was Martin Rooney. I remember I went to him. I can't be sure if it was Martin, but he was speaking to a bunch of trainers, and he was like, you know, I know you guys are all here for the, you know, blah 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 advanced nutrition workshop that's happening next door. But he goes, let me ask you a question. Like, how many of you guys know that you should eat vegetables? Everybody raise their hands. Mm-hmm. How many of you guys' clients know they should eat their vegetables? Everybody raise their hand.
Yes.
How many of your clients actually eat their vegetables? Nobody raise their hand. He's like, so you don't need to learn more about nutrition, guys. You need to get your people to eat fucking vegetables.
Yeah.
But right? Like, that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, your job as a coach is to educate the clients and then also get them to really buy in and actually do it the other 23 hours of a day.
Yes.
Which is what I think you're very good at too, right? Is because you're very authentic about, like, this is not going to happen without this. Like, you don't bullshit anybody,
no.
Right? You're straight up. Like, I can be the best coach in the world for 2 hours a week, but, like, nothing's happening with weight loss if you don't do your shit.
We have to fix the rest of the time. You know, if you're putting a lot of excess calories in your diet, then you can't lose weight. So, you know, little things like that, you know, that's what we talk about. You know, I'm going to make sure that the exercise itself is going to be going great, but really, you're right. I'm trying to help positively influence this person's habits outside of the gym. You know, whether it's eat a little bit of less of this or try some of this, or, you know, I don't typically prescribe meal plans per se or do that in particular, but I give people tips and little pieces of advice at a time that are actually accomplishable. You know, little things like, hey, did you eat breakfast today? And I hold people to that. And once they say, yeah, I ate breakfast today, you know, after so many times, okay, great, they're doing it now. Now I can start coaching them on another habit. So are you drinking that protein shake after this workout? No, I'm not. Okay. So every workout I ask them, are you drinking that protein shake? Those little tiny things like that, that you hound, you know, the coach holds you accountable for. That's why you have the coach to help you do things that you know you need to do, but you're not going to do them. To me, that's my job. You know, it's holding people accountable for the stuff that they don't want to hold themselves accountable for.
Well, and I think what I'm picking up from what you just said too is, like, you're going to hold them accountable to one thing until they definitely do it, rather than be like, here's 9 things I want you to implement every day, right?
Yeah.
And then they can't. I mean, that's too much. You're saying just do the protein shake after every workout for a while.
Right.
Let's get that down. Just hit breakfast.
Right.
And again, they obviously, that's your job. As like, they fucking know that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they already know that. They don't need you to tell them that. They need you to make them do it.
Yeah. As a coach, you have to be a shepherd of that, like I said, of positivity, that, and letting know that, hey, you can do this. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
Start with just this, and then I'm going to hold you accountable. So I'm going to help walk them through that. You know, hey, this is all you need to focus on right now. If you do this, this is step 1 out of 100, but, like, there's no point in focusing on step number 17 if you haven't gotten step 1 automatic yet.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there's too many meal plans have too much stuff going on and too many rapid changes that there's just really no chance in hell that anybody who doesn't have ironclad discipline is going to be able to adhere to it or stick to it. It's just not going to happen.
And probably the same goes for workout plans, right? When the person, you know, spends some time on bodybuilding.com and goes to the gym all well-intentioned, they got too many variables, too many things to worry about, where your job is to kind of streamline that for them.
Yeah.
Right?
If it's not happening in the workout program first, it's definitely not happening nutritionally.
Right.
You know, I don't know anybody that has, honestly, that has their nutrition planned out and really programmed that doesn't also have their workout program also planned out and thought out. Usually the workouts happen first.
Yeah.
And then they learn that, oh, people need to fuel their workouts. And that comes from nutrition.
Right.
Versus, you know, you could, if you did the nutrition first, well, that's the harder part. That's the toughest part of the whole
thing.
Totally,
yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, cool. So, last thing, and we'll wrap it up. We'll try to do this in, like, 2 minutes. A common question we always get is, like, how do I stay motivated? How do you guys stay motivated? You know, you've been lifting for so long. It's something that we do so often. I know for you, sometimes you're competing. Sometimes you're not competing. How do you stay motivated for your own workouts? And what would be your advice to someone who struggles with, quote unquote, motivation?
For me, motivation is extremely fickle. I mean, very rarely am I ever leaping out of bed to go deadlift, you know, 500 pounds.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but it's not something that I'm motivated to do with intensity every single time.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people live pretty busy lives, and a lot of stuff can get in the way, whether it's, you know, their job, whether it's, you know, they have a lot of responsibility at home or what have you. It's tough to get that that time and that ability to do it. So yeah. What was the question?
So like your own, like, so you were just saying, like, you don't really jump out of bed like angered,
oh, right,
anxious,
right,
to,
right,
go rip out the deadlifts.
Yeah. For me, it's exactly, it's kind of touches on literally everything I've already been talking about, is realizing that you're on a program and the program is what's going to give you progress. It's not the being motivated and the excited part. So disconnect from your feelings about how your workouts are going and trust it and follow it and realize that you're not always going to be motivated, because if you're wondering where the motivation is, it's probably not going to magically come.
Yeah.
So you have to enjoy what you're doing and find a program that you actually don't mind doing once you do get to the gym. Like for me, I'll get tired, something will happen, I'll have a million excuses as to not do my workout.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I just, all right, I know I can do this, I'm going to start warming up. Once I get going, I know I enjoy it because I put it together and I picked it. So,
dude, I think that's the thing that most people probably misunderstand, is they expect somebody like you or me to always be like, I fucking love to lift. Can't wait to lift. And same as you, I'm always like, well, I know I'm going to like it once I get going.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. But I right now, if you said, dude, let's skip chest and go watch Netflix, I'm in.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm very prideful of my ability as a coach. I know right when I don't want to work out, I know I have to. And for me, I'm at the point in my life where, cool, I don't feel like working out. I know I'm about to have the best workout of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I just tell myself positive things.
Yeah.
And I usually have great results. Versus someone who doesn't have that ability to just flip the switch and go.
Right.
They probably might need a coach to pick them up or a better workout buddy. Or sometimes you just need someone to pat you on the back and say, hey, we're going to do this. Like, it's time to go.
Right.
Let's get to work.
Right. Well, I feel like it's almost like what Jocko always says, right? It's like discipline over motivation. Like, you're going to lift today because it's on the schedule.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're like, oh, I want to go. Like, it's not even something you consider.
I never want to brush my teeth. Or very rarely do I have the energy to floss and, you know, do all the things I need to do. But I still do it. Because you know it's important, and the consistency of it is what is the progress.
Yeah.
That is what will get you somewhere.
That's probably a perfect way to wrap it up.
Cool.
Think of it like brushing your damn teeth.
Yeah, make it a habit.
All right, bro. That was good. I'm sure we could do part 2, 3, and 4 of this.
Let's do it.
We'll do it down the road, man. Right now, let's go get something to eat.
Absolutely.
All right.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, bro.